presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan. Gang, in the early days of aviation, airplanes were simple machines. A few minutes' instruction at the time of purchase was enough to give a new owner all the details of maintenance and flight. But airplanes have grown more and more complicated through the years until today they're really complex. Flying, servicing, and keeping these planes in good shape is something you can't learn overnight. When a new plane comes out on the market today, it takes the skill of top-grade instructors to teach the ABCs of that new ship to a buyer. The need for instruction is so important today that most purchase contracts include a section for training the buyer's crews in the right way to care for the new airplane. One of the pioneers in this kind of instruction is the Boeing Aircraft Company. During the war, Boeing had Flying Fortress and Super Fortress schools in Seattle, and they trained more than 40,000 men there. You remember that these men serviced and maintained the huge bomber fleets that carried destruction to the heart of Germany and Japan. After the war, Boeing thought it would be a good idea to carry the schools over to the civil aviation field. Airlines were starting to expand at that time, and so Boeing thought it could make an important contribution toward increasing both the safety and general knowledge of its aircraft. The best way to tell airline ground crews how to service new planes was to send them to a school that knew all about the ship. The outcome of that today is the Boeing Stratocruiser School at Seattle. And in just a few minutes, I'll be back to tell you all about it. So don't forget to listen. And now to our story. In spite of her refusal of assistance and her obstinate attempts to get them out of the way, Hop and Tank are still trying to help Dixie Davenport recover her horse, Sequoia, stolen by a burly cowhand, Tex Regan. The boys followed the beautiful young movie star to a bank in the desert town of Barstow, and there overheard her making arrangements for a payment of $50,000 to the person presenting a certain letter then in her possession. Obviously, Dixie was planning to pay ransom for the horse, but Hop was afraid Regan would double-cross her. Then, yesterday, Hop and Tank left the bank a few minutes after Dixie, planning to catch up to her on the road out of town, but suddenly a car pulled up alongside, the rear door opened, and they heard a voice say,
"Can I give you a lift, partner?"
"Jumper Jenny, Tex Regan."
"Come on inside, fellas."
"You bet I will. I'm going to tear you apart."
"Watch it, Tank. He's got a gun."
"And I'm pretty good with it, if I do say so. Inside, fellas, pronto."
"What's the idea?"
"I'll tell you about it sometime. Are you coming in, or do I fill you full of lead and leave you in the gutter?"
"Come on, Tank. We can't do anything else."
"One at a time, so I can watch you both. Tinker, you sit in that corner. Stay put. And now you, Harrigan."
"Regan, what are you doing this for?"
"Don't ask so many questions, because you won't like the answers. Now, close the door." "All right, Joe. Roll her."
"Joe? Hey, look who's here. The hotshot pilot himself."
"Shut up, Tinker."
"Don't talk to me like that, you little punk."
"Sit still, Tinker."
"Easy, Tank. Losing your temper won't get you anywhere."
"That's a smart way to figure it, Harrigan. Won't get him nowhere but a coffin."
"All right, Regan. Why don't we cut the chatter and get down to cases?"
Sure. "Anything you say, partner."
"And suppose you start talking. What's the idea?"
"The idea is that you two are sticking your noses where they don't belong. I aim to see that stopped. Right now."
"Huh? How?"
"By taking care of you in my own special way." "Step it up, will you, Joe?"
"We'll have the cops on our tail. I'm doing 50 now."
"We ain't got all day."
"So you sold her out, Joe. Miss Davenport trusted you, and you sold her out."
"Shut up, will you?"
"Now, Joe, he's only trying to get you goat."
"Well, make him lay off."
Sure. Now, you keep your eyes on the road."
"Stop gabbing and tell us where we're going."
"Where you won't get in my way again."
"That tells me a lot. I said where?"
"To a little place I know up in the valley, off by itself. Nobody around for miles. And the weather's getting pretty good, too."
"The weather?"
"Yeah. See them clouds up there? Being flyer boys, you ought to know what they mean."
"Sure, rain."
"Rain, and plenty of it. It really comes down in these parts. Comes down hard and fast.
What are you driving at?
Oh, nothing much. I only hope this little place I'm taking you to don't, don't leak.
Listen, Tex, what about Miss Davenport?
What about her, partner?
Are you going to give her back Sequoia?
Sequoia? You mean a horse?
You know doggone well what I mean.
Appears to me you're riding the wrong range, partner. How can I give Sequoia back to her when I ain't got it?
You're a liar.
Listen, Regan, we know you have Sequoia. We know you and Joe Bell fixed up the whole deal between you. You've demanded $50,000.
You know an awful lot, Harrigan.
Are you going to come through or aren't you?
That all depends. But sure as the day is long, you two ain't going to know about it. Now shut up. Step on it, Joe. Let's get this over with.
In answer to Regan's curt command, Joe forces the accelerator down to the floorboards, and the sedan roars down the empty desert road. 20 minutes later, Joe turns off into a narrow, winding lane, and after a rough, dusty half-mile, stops the car in front of a weather-beaten shack, surrounded on all sides by high canyon walls. At gunpoint, Hop and Tank are forced out, and as they walk over the hard, dry ground, the first threat of the advancing storm rumbles in the distance.
Hear that, Joe? Sounds like the weather's going to be just right.
You sure this will work, Tex?
Positive.
Hop.
Yeah.
What are they talking about? Why is the weather so important?
Yeah, you've got me.
Maybe we can break clear.
I'll hurt you, Tinker. And any time you feel like running a race with this here 45, I'll be glad to oblige.
Tank, be careful.
Inside, boys. Go on over to those chairs and sit down.
Hop, we gotta make a break or we're dead pigeons.
I know it. Stand by.
Cooking up something, huh? Well, I'll take care of that right now.
Tank, watch it! Why, you dirty...
Joe, at Harrigan! Well, nice work, Joe.
He was asking for it.
Okay, now, let's finish up. And listen, Joe. The weather's gonna be just right.
Tex Regan laughs triumphantly. Then, with the help of his accomplice, Joe Bell, he ties Hop and Tank, both unconscious, to the two chairs in the center of the dirty room. A few minutes later, outside the shack, he stares up at the gradually darkening sky and, smiling his satisfaction, climbs into the sedan with Joe, and they drive away. A half hour later, back on the main road again, they slow down as they approach a convertible parked on the shoulder.
There she is, Joe. She follows instructions good. Pull up behind the car.
Okay.
You know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, don't worry.
Okay. Go ahead.
Miss Davenport!
Oh, Joe. What took you so long? I've been waiting almost to know.
Sorry, we were held up.
Is Tex Regan with you?
I sure am, Miss Davenport.
Well, where's Sequoia? You promised me you'd bring Sequoia.
In time, ma'am, in time. I had to make sure first.
Make sure of what?
That you'd play ball and wouldn't bring the cops into this.
I promised I wouldn't. All I want is Sequoia.
For sure, ma'am. Just suppose you climb in the car and we'll talk about it.
Talk? There's nothing to talk about.
Better do as he says, Miss Davenport.
All right.
That's more friendly like, ma'am.
I don't care about being friends with you, Tex Regan. No, where's Sequoia?
Where's the money?
I have it.
Mind if I see the color of it?
I don't have it in cash.
What do you mean? You're trying to cross me?
No. I have a letter made out to the bank in Barstow. There's $50,000 on deposit there, which can be withdrawn in cash by the person who presents the letter.
Don't sound right to me.
I'm not exactly a fool, Tex. I want to see Sequoia first.
Let's see that letter.
It's in my purse. You'll get
it. Your purse, eh? Well, thank you, ma'am.
Tex, give it back to me. Give it back.
Now, you sit quiet and you won't get hurt, ma'am. Okay, Joe, shut the door. Joe, you know what to do.
Right. Meet you at the ranch.
Joe, where are you going? Come back, Joe.
Save your voice, ma'am. Joe's working for me now.
Where are you taking me?
You want to see your horse Sequoia, don't you, ma'am? Well, Tex Regan aims to keep his promise to you.
So, in the short space of an hour, Tex Regan seems to have won two important victories. He has Dixie's letter, and Hop and Tank are lying unconscious in a shack in the canyon. Things are going to happen, gang, so stand by. When Boeing decided to open a school for airline ground crews, the company had a good deal of experience through the training courses they gave during the war. Yet, in spite of that, company officers consulted fully with the six major world airlines who soon will be flying the new Boeing Stratocruiser. Boeing asked these airline customers just what they'd like included in the training course, and they came back with a lot of requests. The two most asked for were specialist classes for men who work only on certain parts of the plane and a general familiarization course for supervisors and others who must have an overall knowledge of the ship. The Boeing Service Department worked these suggestions, as well as many others, into the training course. Finally, out of all the conferences came a business-like three-week course with two types of study. For pilots, flight engineers, and supervisors who must know all parts of the ship, the entire 3 weeks are taken up with a general study of the mechanism. For others who want to specialize, the work is divided into two parts. 1 week of general familiarization, followed by 2 weeks of training in their specialization. All this work of organizing was done months ago, long before the first Stratocruiser was ready to roll off the assembly line. The airlines which buy the ships must have crews trained and ready to take over the moment the new planes are delivered. Airline personnel who have taken the course and received the Stratocruiser school certificate really know they've got the best three-week training in the industry. American aviation always strives for the best, gang, in planes, service, everything. And say, if any of you want to join the growing circle of aviation men and women when you get older, get ready now, for always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Although it is only mid-afternoon, the sky above the canyon is black as night. Vivid streaks of blue-white lightning fork through tumbled masses of storm clouds, and the thunder echoes and re-echoes in almost continual rolls. The rain beats down on the roof of the shack and leaks through into its one room as Tank slowly regains consciousness.
Pop. Pop, can you hear me? Pop.
That's you, Tank?
Yeah, sure. Come on, snap out of it.
But give me a second.
Oh, my head.
Yeah, mine don't feel so good neither. But you gotta pull yourself together.
Yeah, I'm okay now.
Hey, what happened, anyhow?
Regan and Joe Bell must have knocked us out and then tied us up. Wait till I get my hands on
them. Save your strength. See if you can get loose.
That's not a chance.
Yeah.
I guess you're right.
Sounds pretty rough outside.
It's rough in here, too. Roof's got more holes than a soup strainer.
That's what Regan said he wanted.
Why, Hop? I still don't understand why.
Neither do I. Coming down in buckets.
Can't even see out the window. Hey, Hop, we gotta do something. We gotta get out of here.
Doesn't seem to be much we can do.
Hey, look.
Huh? What's the matter?
Water's coming in under the door.
Water?
Yeah, and up through the floor. Maybe Regan wants us to catch ammonia.
No, Tank. Listen.
Huh?
There's water coming down the canyon.
Don't be Jenny's. Sounds like a river.
It is a river. This shack's in a dried-up river bed.
Oh, my gosh. And the water's rising. It's over our ankles already. Hop, we'll be drowned.
The roar of the storm almost covers Tank's cry of despair, and the boys redouble their efforts to free themselves from their bonds. But the ropes hold, cutting into their flesh. Gang, you won't want to miss the next episode, so tune in and fly with Hop Halligan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Halligan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazines.